Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We got the Neighborhood Watch coming up at 7:40. The great Matt Hicks, Rangers play-by-play voice on this unbelievable run at 8. Day off today. New York Mets tomorrow. Let's head on out to New York for a Giants preview with our friend Paul Schwartz from the New York Post on your home of the Dallas Cowboys via the D&M leasing hotline. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How you guys? I imagine you're better than the state of the Giants right now.
Man. I sit here and talk about the Cowboys and worry and all the drama, I do look at a team like I said, the Colts first. That made me look bad. That makes you all feel even worse because of Daniel Jones' debut. But being a Giant fan to like start off the season, like it has to suck until Jackson Dart takes over, right?
Well, it wasn't supposed to be this bad before Jackson Dart takes over. I mean, the plan was to let Russell play, let Russell Wilson play. And look, you guys know when there's a first-round pick, the lifeline's not going to be really long. And, I didn't think Russell Wilson was going to start all 17 games. But the big problem was, you guys know, every season you feel like it's a new season. And even if it's kind of the same team, I want to see what it's going to look like, right? Maybe it's going to be a little different. You know, in Dallas, you have a new coach, so that's always interesting.
Yeah.
There's not a new coach with the Giants, but and the problem was it looked exactly the same on offense. You know, it looked like the 18th game of last season instead of the first game of this season. And you know what? Maybe that's a little bit to be expected because 10 of the 11 starters they brought back on offense, and the other one, only one they changed was the quarterback. So maybe they needed to change more of the other starters on offense as well.
Paul, did you actually think Daboll was going to possibly make a quarterback change for week two? And who did you think they should have started the season with?
I thought Russell Wilson. You know, Russell Wilson is, look, we've all seen, we know what he did in Seattle. We know what he didn't do in Denver. We know what he didn't do in Pittsburgh. He was not their first choice. You know, they wanted to trade for Matt Stafford and pay him $50 million a year. Remember back in the summer when it was like, in the spring, I guess, when it was like, Matt Stafford is available, but he wasn't. And they wanted to sign Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers didn't decide, and they couldn't wait. So they signed Russell Wilson. And Russell Wilson brought a certain gravitas, charisma. You know, he is still an incredibly strong leader. The question was, does he have enough in the tank? You know what I mean? And in the spring and summer, it looked like he did have, he's moving well. He physically, I didn't look at him in training camp and say the guy can't do it anymore. The first game was a total breakdown of offensive line, and it wasn't all his fault. He didn't rise above anything. So I thought they should have started the season with Russell Wilson because there's no need to start Jackson Dart right away. Don't forget, he was not the first or second pick in the draft. He was the 25th pick in the draft. They did not think he was going to be one of those guys like Cam Ward who was ready to play right away. What happened in the summer? He looked better than everyone thought, and he looked better than Daboll thought, and Daboll clearly loves the guy. So I don't think there's a rush here. It's not like the Giants are going to make in the Super Bowl anytime soon. I did not think that. I would have been stunned if Brian Daboll came out the other day and said, we were going with Jackson Dart. I mean, it's just not fair to Russell Wilson at this point. I think they've got the button, their finger on the button with Jackson Dart, but they're not going to press it just yet.
Paul Schwartz, New York Post, joining us here, 105.3 The Fan. All right, so the excitement around Dart, is it real or is it just because he's somebody different? Like, what have you seen that the team has liked about him in the summer and in training camp?
He really couldn't have had a better spring and summer. I mean, and I'm saying that as a guy who's covered the team for the long time. So I'm not just not like, oh my gosh, this guy looks great. You know, there's plenty of quarterbacks who don't look great when they come in. He does have a charisma. He's got, from doing some research, the Ole Miss program, he was like a recruiter at Ole Miss. You know, he has this innate ability to get guys on the team to like him and to want to be around him. So I can see that already. And he was really good in training camp. Brian Daboll, for his faults as a head coach, I think he has a great plan for how he develops young quarterbacks. And, It didn't work with Daniel Jones, but he tried. He did not have Daniel Jones at the start of this. You know, he's not a miracle worker. He got Daniel Jones, you know, halfway through his, you know, his NFL experience. But Dart looked really good in training camp. And he, Dable used to do some really funky things with him. You know, all of a sudden he'd just say, Jackson, get in the game, you know, get in the play, get in with the first team, do this. Jameis, you come out on this, 2-minute drill in practice. Jackson, you go in. One point, it was actually funny. Jameis Winston said, I feel like I'm back in New Orleans with Taysom Hill. I'm getting taken out at the goal line here, even in practice. And he looked really good in the preseason games. I mean, really good. So I think more of him now than I did when they drafted him, and I am very interested in seeing him play. But you know what? If their offensive line plays the way it did in Washington and their three running backs total 30 yards, it's not going to matter who the quarterback is. So I think they want to get things set up a little better, maybe get Andrew Thomas back at left tackle, and then at least give the kid a chance.
Paul, you mentioned right there the offensive line and Andrew Thomas, who was unable to go in week one. What is the expectation for his availability this weekend? And if Andrew Thomas isn't able to go, what's the plan for the Giants at tackle?
Oh, the plan is to play poorly at tackle. with a veteran James Hudson, who did not play well in the first game. You know what? Tune in Friday, because Andrew Thomas did not practice yesterday. It was a running day for him, and then see how he felt. And he's supposed to practice today and tomorrow. I would imagine there will be a limited participation in practice, certainly today. So I would say, last week I would say, you know, he's listed as doubtful. I would guess this week he'll be listed as questionable. I wouldn't bet on him playing because, I mean, he's coming off Liz Frank. And you guys know, it's not a receiver or a cornerback who you can, or an edge rusher who you can say, you know what, he's ready. He's not ready for full time. Let's play him 14 snaps. You know, we'll put him in on third down. He's the left tackle. You can't put him in on third down. I mean, I guess you could have him play two series and then have him sit a third. But that's not great for continuity on the offensive line. But, you know, they're kind of desperate. So if he can play, he will. I really don't have a great answer. I would guess right now, if you asked me to lay $100 on it, I would say he won't play. And even if he does play, I can't see him playing 65 snaps.
Paul Schwartz from the New York Post joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Paul, what's the level of concern among Giants fans that some of these blow-ups or some of these issues that have occurred with Malik Nabers in the first 2 years already might be kind of laying the foundation for a split at some point?
No, none. None as far as a split. I mean, I can't speak for all fans. I mean, fans get worried about, you know, what they're having for breakfast in the morning. And, you know, if they don't want to use their New York Giants, you know, cup or something because the Giants had a bad game, you know. But, I mean, and Malik really talked about it. I mean, yeah, not really. He talked about it yesterday and he said, well, I have NBF. I have natural bitch face, which is not exactly the phrase, right? I think it's resting bitch phrase is it, resting.
We got it, Paul. We got the B word. We got
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. Do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You got it. I mean, the FCC is not going to jump in here, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Our boss
right?
might.
We're okay. But he did say it. And you know, Malik and Dable are kind of similar. They're hotheads in a little bit of a sense, and they're very highly competitive. Look, when you're losing all the time, and he was targeted 12 times and caught 5 passes. I mean, that's not – 12 targets is great. 5 catches is not great, you know. And so he's frustrated. So I don't think – I mean, I've been around him for, you know, one season and part of this season now. I don't think Malik Nabers is a problem. I think he is young and he gets frustrated and he knows he's good. And the Giants know he's good. And it's incredibly frustrating to him when they don't score a lot of points and the quarterbacks can't get him the ball and he runs a good route and he looks back and the quarterback's on his back because the offensive line can't protect. So I don't think it's any more than that. So I know, look, they lose and there's a between the first and second quarter, you see the two guys yelling at each other. But Malik said it wasn't get me the ball or anything like that. He knows he's a good player, and the production's not there. So I think it's that. I think it's too early to say that there's a problem there. You know, he's not that kind of a guy.
Paul, were you surprised they brought Daboll back? And what does he really have to do to keep his job?
Well, some people think he just has to play Jackson Dart, right? And it's a lifeline. I don't think it goes that far. Look, they went from 9 wins his first year. He was the NFL coach of the year. Then it went 6 wins the next year. Daniel Jones got hurt, you know, so that was kind of a, you know, you don't get a pass because it's not like Patrick Mahomes getting hurt, but he was their starting quarterback coming off a decent year. And then, so they go from 9 to 6 to 3. So I was not... I mean, I thought it was very tenuous, you know, that he would come back. But John Mara has said many times, I can't keep on firing guys after 2 years. I just can't do it. You know, he did it with Ben McAdoo. He did it with Pat Shurmur. He did it with Joe Judge. You know, and he just, I can't keep on doing that. So Brian Daboll got a reprieve because of that, you know, because the owner said, I can't be one of those franchises that just fires guys, even though the record would indicate that you certainly could fire him. He knows that Daboll and Joe Shane, the GM, came together from Buffalo, and they get along great. So there's no friction there. That's good. What does he have to do? I mean, you can't win 3 games again. I know people think, well, if they put Jackson Dart in, then he gets a, you know, get out of jail card. But you know what? Jackson Dart also has to come in and play well, right? And has to win a few games. You know, John Mara can also look at this after the season and say, okay, Jackson started 12 games. He didn't look good. So I'm not going with the theory that I can't bring in somebody else to work with Jackson because that would be, you know, a lack of continuity. I don't want continuity because Jackson didn't look good. There's no guarantee he will come in and play well. So I think they need to win some games, you know, and they can't win 3 or 4. The schedule's really hard. I think Jackson Dart has to come in and play well. And John Mara said at the end of last year, I have to be, you know, ask, you know, what do these guys have to do next year to stay? He didn't give a number or playoffs. He said, I have to be in a better mood at this time next year than I am now. I would say the best litmus test is at the end of the year, does John Mara and the majority of the fans look at it and say, oh my God, thank God the season's over? Or do they say, you know what? We weren't great, but I'm kind of looking forward to 2026 with Jackson Dart and what we have. We didn't do great, but I think we see signs here. That's the key. Look, they're not a great team. They're probably not a good team. And what they were last week was a rotten team, and that's alarming. So this week against a team they never beat, and I'm sure if we go on for another half hour here, which we won't, you'll tell me all the reasons why the Cowboys are beatable, right? But nobody is beatable to the Giants if they play like they did last week.
Paul, you mentioned there that you don't feel like the Giants are a great team, and they may not even be a good team, but if the Giants were to come in here and win this game on Sunday against the Cowboys, what is it you think that, what does that look like? Like, how do you think they're doing that? Is that just feeding Malik Nabers a ton? Is that Tyrone Tracy gets the ball and is running wild on them? How do the Giants have success to the point that they come in here and upset Dallas?
Yeah, I always like that question because it's like, okay, force me to think about how they can win because I spend a lot of time figuring out how they're going to lose, you know, because they don't look good. No, that's good. I would say number one on defense is they stopped the run. You know, they gave up 220 rushing yards last year. You guys know the Commanders have a very intricate running scheme, and they have Jaden Daniels, who just is almost impossible to corral. So I won't give them a pass because they weren't a good run defense last year. But I would say if they can make Dak throw the ball, they have good pass rushers. You know what I mean? You know, Abdul Carter is not Micah Parsons, but I think he's the closest thing in the league that can be Micah Parsons and eventually be a Parsons type player. You know, he's the prototype of that. And he didn't get he only got, you know, half the snaps last week and looked pretty good. Brian Burns had 2 sacks. Kayvon Thibodeau had a sack against a guy that's very difficult to sack. So if they can earn the right to rush the passer, I think they will rush the passer. You know, I think they have guys who can do that. And I think offensively, they just have to run the ball a little bit. You know, they're not a great running team. You know, Cam Scatterboo, the rookie, everyone's very excited about him. He's a banger. He got hit behind the line of scrimmage almost every time. So, they have to run the ball. You know, Russell Wilson can do play action stuff, and he had none of that last week because there was no action to play. You know, there's no threat of a run. So, I see the Cowboys are going to be down a cornerback, it looks like. Darius Slayton had no catches last week. I mean, there's a recipe for victory for the Giants, but, every time I go in that building, other than, the first time with Eli Manning when he signed the wall, it's kind of a disaster. So, to me, Dak Prescott's a Hall of Famer because he's beaten the Giants 13 straight times, and almost every time I see him play the Giants, he looks great.
Paul, Bobby's a huge fan of Cam Scatterboo.
Nope, not. I'm a Texas fan.
He loves him. But truthfully, like, how much of his game is, I don't want to say gimmick, but, like, is just lowering his head and trying to drive through a defensive player versus make a real impact?
Well, that's I saw, not going to fly in the NFL. You know what I mean? I mean, it's funny because you stand down and I talk to Cam Scatterboo and I'm a little taller than him. You know what? I'm not tall. he's a little more powerful than me and I'm not powerful. So that's okay. look, he's a really good pass catcher. You know what I mean? And he looked good in the summer doing that. So they need to incorporate that. Tyrone Tracy, the starting running back, is also a good pass catcher. He was a wide receiver before he was a running back. So, I don't know yet. I don't know about Cam Scatterboo. Yeah, I mean, I think he'll be able to bounce off tackles in the NFL, but he's got some – he's shiftiness to him. But, yeah, I mean, lowering his head is not going to work. I can't stress enough how last week was so dysfunctional, and that's why Giants fans, just could not – they were pulling their hair out because – I mean, the Commanders won 14 games last year, right? Two in the regular season and two in the playoffs. The Giants won three. I mean, these teams are not comparable. So to have the Giants lose opening day on the road in Washington is not a disaster. Yeah. But to score 6 points and be in the red zone and look like, the goal line is a force field they can't penetrate is an issue. I mean, if they lost 27-17 and, all right, they scored a couple of touchdowns and they didn't look great. Maybe they had a turnover. But there's something. I mean, there's literally nothing on offense to build on. Nothing. Not Russ, not the running game, not the passing game, not the protection. So that's why everyone was like, I can't believe this. It's worse than it was last year, and we were sold a bill of goods that it will be better. So,
Paul, do the Giants have the worst ownership and front office in the division?
Well, I'm not going to say that. I mean, let fans say that. I think they have done some good things in the draft. They do not have the worst ownership in the division. In the division, ownership? No. The Giants have won two Super Bowls since the Cowboys have won a Super Bowl. I'm not going to go ownership by ownership here. The Commanders' ownership is new. I don't think John Mara is a bad owner at all, at all. I think he's lost his way a little bit and maybe hired some wrong people. And, we could go down a litany of things that maybe he has done wrong football wise, but no, I think he is, his heart's in the right place. I think his head often is in the right place. And, maybe he has to take a step back when he's, involved in the hiring process and things like that. But, no, I don't think he's a terrible owner. I think they're in a very bad rut here, and it's a franchise that is in, wouldn't call it disarray. They just they need to get out of this rut. And I don't put it this way. I don't think their roster is terrible. I don't think it's terrible. I said before the season, this is not a roster that should win three or four games. It's not. The defensive personnel is not bad. It's not. It's actually quite okay, or maybe even good if you go man-to-man, down the list. It really is not. I thought they overrated their offensive line, and I'm still concerned about that, especially on the interior. They like their players better than I like their players, and, we'll see who's going to come out right in that. I thought Russell Wilson had something left in the tank. Not a lot, because I'm not blind to what he's done the last few years. And, last week was a disaster on all fronts on offense. So, you know, but no, I don't, you know, I mean, you know, I don't need to debate here, but I still don't understand why getting rid of Micah Parsons is a good thing for the franchise. I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. And you know what? I'm sure the Giants offensive linemen, you know, and I saw some of their tweets like, oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Goodbye. We don't have to play. They do have to play the Packers once, but they don't have to play Micah twice.
Paul, we love having you on every year. Thank you so much. We appreciate the time. Try to enjoy the game and the season.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure. Take care.
Paul Schwartz, New York Post on the D&M Leasing Hotline on the home of the Cowboys.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.